This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Talk about this next song, maybe too much talk. This song is not a rebel song. This song is Someday, Bloody Someday.
Oh, 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in from whichever land you are on, and acknowledge that this always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome to Out of the Pan, a show covering pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex, sexuality, gender, genre and all sorts of things. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her. And we opened up today with U2, Sunday Bloody Sunday. There'll be a reason for playing that song, which I'll give in a minute. But if you want to get in touch with the show, lots of ways to do it. There's the email, outofthepan855@gmail.com, SMS 61456 751215, Twitter at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. Also the same for Instagram, Mastodon and Blue Sky. And look for posts on Facebook, my page Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are my own. Don't think at this stage there'll be any need for content warnings, but a declaration that I am a committee member of Just Equal Australia. And that is why we played Sunday Bloody Sunday, because Just Equal Australia and its associated group Let Us Give were major contributors to a historic change that came into effect last Monday, the 14th of July, in so-called Australia, in that we now have, I will say, a large step to equality for plasma and blood donation. And on the line to talk about that is long-time advocate who's been campaigning for this for many years, Rodney Croom. Rodney, well, no stranger to the 3CR airwaves. Welcome to Out of the Pan.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me on. I'm coming today from La Trobita, Tasmania, and I like to pay tributes to Tasmanian Indigenous elders and leaders, past and present. Can you hear me okay?
You're very faint. I'm not sure what's going on there. I know what'll fix it. I have fixed it. Let's try that again. You've acknowledged leaders in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders in Tasmania, past and present.
Indeed. Coming to you from La Trobita, Tasmania. Is that okay?
Now we're coming much clearer. Yes, we're all good now. Yep. From La Trobita, yes, you're up on Bass. What is on the strait between the large island and the it's the small one, but it's made from small islands, big steps happen. But of course, a lot of advocates around the country contributed to this reform. First of all, of course, let's go back. It's been something that's needed for a long time. What's the history behind where we got to, we'll say, before last Monday, just very quickly?
Well, as most people might know, in the 1980s, the mid-80s, there was an HIV-AIDS crisis in Australia. It was a time when we had less understanding of how HIV is detected and transmitted. In response to that, the Blood Service put in place a ban on men who have sex with men, gay men and bisexual men, and also trans women who have sex with men giving blood. To begin with, that was a lifetime ban, and then it became, depending on the state and territory, like 6 years or 12 months, and the situation we had until last week was a three-month ban. And what I mean by a ban is that gay men and bi men and trans women who had sex with men had to be sexually abstinent for 3 months before mm-hmm. they could give blood. Now, of course, we live in a time when we have a much better understanding of how HIV is detected and transmitted. Because of that, we've made the changes that you've been referring to.
Yep, so that's how we got there. You know, it may have seemed, you know, look, we did, as you said, we didn't know at the time, possibly may have seemed reasonable, but now things have moved on. What are the changes that are now in place? What took place on Monday that is different? Let's go to that.
Well, what's changed? And can you still hear me okay?
Yes, there was a bit of internet issue, I think, at my end, but I think it's gone now. So, what changed last Monday that's moved us to a better place?
Well, there has been advocacy on this issue really from the late 1980s, early 1990s, and including cases before discrimination tribunals, such as the Cain case in Tasmania, and many gay men and bi men and trans women calling for change. And that finally led to the Red Cross Lifeblood Service adopting a new policy. And the policy now is that the people who have previously been required to have an abstinence period, gay men and bi men and trans women who have sex with men, are now able to donate blood plasma. That's the yellow stuff that's separated from the red stuff, if you like,
mm-hmm.
Without any questions about sexual activity at all. So that can include people who are in monogamous relationships or people who have multiple or new partners or people who are on PrEP. It doesn't matter. They're able to give blood plasma. And that's actually a world-leading policy now.
Ooh.
So hats off to Lifeblood for that new plasma donation policy. When Lifeblood proposed that, of course, it had to go through the Therapeutic Goods Administration, which is the main regulator in Australia for blood donation, and it agreed. Yep, this blood plasma policy was fine. So that's great. And we've seen a whole bunch of GBT people giving blood plasma as a result over the last week. But as well as that change to plasma donation policies, there's a new proposal for a change to the donation of whole blood. So just the entirely red stuff, not the yellow stuff. There what we're seeing is a new policy that would allow blood donation by gay men and bi men and trans women if they have been in a monogamous relationship for a period, I'll explain that a bit more in a minute. That what the exact criteria are, but that new whole blood donation policy isn't in place yet. It's been approved by the Therapeutic Goods Administration, but it won't come into place until next year. It could be as much as a year away.
Yeah.
That's not such a leading policy. I mean, there are a number of other countries that have adopted that policy. Canada, the UK, the US, New Zealand, France, Germany, Italy, Greece, Spain. I mean, the list goes on. Quite a few countries allow GBT people to donate whole blood. Our hope was that the new whole blood policy would be very simple and straightforward, like, say, the UK or Canada, where there's one question for all donors, regardless of whether they're gay or straight, cisgender, or transgender. And that is that, have you had anal sex with a new partner or multiple partners in the last 3 months? That's mm-hmm. a simple question that's asked. Unfortunately, Lifeblood in Australia hasn't gone down that path. It's gone down a more complex and difficult and confusing path where it plans to ask GBT donors whether they've been monogamous for 6 months, if not, whether they've had anal sex with new or multiple partners in the last 3 months, and it's going to have two different periods, like 6 months for monogamy, but then 3 months for anal sex with new or multiple partners. We're saying this is confusing.
Mm.
It's not best practice. And we're hoping to work with Lifeblood over the next year or so just to try and get a policy that focuses in on risk and isn't so obsessed with monogamy and doesn't have these different deferral periods, 6 months, 3 months, which is going to be really confusing for potential donors. It's a great step forward that in a year's time we'll be able to donate whole blood, or some of us will, but we need a system that really is a bit more streamlined, like the Canadian system or the UK system. So that's the continuing reservation we have, that it's an odd screening process that Lifeblood's opted for, mm-hmm. one that hasn't really got the support of a lot of epidemiologists, I can see, and we'll be advocating about that.
Cool. Now, one other group that I think need to mention, and that's sex workers, sex work being real work. I think they were somewhat affected by policies in the past. The changes are the same for sex workers as well?
Yes. Sex workers have had to undergo an abstinence period up until now before they can donate, just like a gay man and by men and trans women. And of course, you know, that's a bit of a hindrance on their jobs. So, and employment and incomes. Lifeblood has changed that. I can't speak on behalf of sex workers. I don't have that mandate. I think it's a really important issue, though, that we have a closer look at. So I urge you, you know, if you have a chance in the future to get in someone from Scarlet Alliance or
Definitely.
One of the sex work groups, to have a bit more of a closer look at that one. But yeah, the deferral periods there have changed as well.
Cool. All right. Yep. Definitely makes mental note to contact Scarlet Alliance or Vixen Collective here in Victoria. Great organisations nationally and in Victoria. Rodney, I know you're pressed for time, but given that you are on the Apple Isle and, of course, tumultuous, busy state events up until last night. What's the latest on the state election and what it might mean for LGBTIQA+, sex workers, people with HIV and any others, you know, in terms of the result? Because I know we don't quite have a clear outcome yet, but you, Equality Tasmania, another of your hats, put the proverbial scorecard out. So, you know, depending on the result, what would it mean and where are we looking at this stage for who's going to form government in the next week or so?
Yes, well, we did put out a scorecard based on a survey we did of the parties and independents. The results were pretty good. The current Liberal government, while it didn't commit to all of the things we were after, it did make commitments on some key issues. So I think regardless of who takes government, we'll be moving forward.
Good.
On important issues, for instance, banning conversion practices. Unfortunately, Tasmania is dragging its feet on that. I'm hoping we can get that issue resolved in the second half of the year. Funding a mental health service, dedicated mental health service for LGBTIQA+ people. I'm hoping we can move forward on that. Banning unnecessary cosmetic surgeries on infants with innate variations of sex characteristics. I am hoping that we'll be moving forward on that in the next couple of months as well. So I think regardless of who takes government, we will see some progress in the second half of 2025. And in terms of who takes government, well, your guess is as good as mine. It doesn't look like the Liberals will win a majority of seats. There's been quite a few independents returned or elected. It's really down to who can be the better negotiator, Jeremy Rockliffe, the Liberal Premier, or Dean Winter, the Labor leader, in terms of, you know, who forms government. They're both saying that they should be given a chance. Mm-hmm. So it could be even weeks before we know who's going to form government in Tasmania. But I'm optimistic. I mentioned the independents before, the crossbench. It looks to be a bit more socially progressive than the crossbench was up until the election. And it was already pretty progressive. So I'm hopeful that that the progressive independents will have a significant influence on whichever party takes government. And like I said, the Liberals and Labor already have some pretty strong commitments, Labor in particular, to LGBTIQA+ equality. So I'm hopeful that we'll, in the second half of 2025, regardless of who forms government, that we'll be able to move Tasmania forward. And as your listeners will be aware, Tasmania already has some pretty progressive laws and policies on LGBTIQI plus equality. Our job is to protect them, protect those advances, to build on them, and to ensure that Tasmania continues to lead. Under the current government, the Liberal government, we've seen the development of an LGBTIQI plus strategy, statewide strategy.
Cool.
Hasn't been released yet, but it's at the verge of being released. We've seen the recognition of asexual and agender people.
Good.
Officially by the government, Tasmania was the first state to do that. There's been some significant progress, and I'm hopeful for more. Before, I mean, you may have another question about the Tasmanian election. Please ask away if you do. But just going back to blood donation, I think it's important, particularly on your show, because I know a lot of activists and or aspiring activists like to listen to this program. I think it's really important to make this point about the blood donation campaign. Often people think that blood donation is something that is in the hands of medical experts, lifeblood, government regulators, and it is, obviously. But the change that we're seeing in Australia now, for all its faults, particularly in terms of whole blood, is something which really wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the role of advocates and activists. A lot of people have contributed to this reform, researchers, people lobbying government and Lifeblood and the TGA, even though the TGA says it's independent, making representations to all of those bodies and making a fuss and writing. There have been companies that have refused to hold blood drives until all of their employees can donate. All of this has led to the position we are now. Never forget that these changes really only ever happen because there are lots of people who make a fuss. Our destiny is always in our hands, including on these issues, which might seem that they're in the hands of experts. They're not. They're in the hands of the community. They always are. And I want to pay tribute to all those people who have made a difference on this issue over the last 30 years.
Yeah. No, look, agreed. It's been a long haul, but it takes more than, I'm going to use an analogy, it takes more than one person to haul, so to speak. If you're pulling a big rope, one person can't do it, and everyone who's chipped in to some degree at some time has got there. And it's a great piece of community campaigning. We'll stay in touch. Rodney, better let you go. Always appreciate you having you and your expertise on. We'll have to come back and talk about more things soon. I know you're always a regular on In Your Face, 4 till 5 Friday on 3CR as well. But let's stay in touch on issues. And it's great to see this so inclusive to the blood results to move in the right direction for all, we'll say, assigned male having sex with assigned male, which, as you said, gay, bi men, and trans and non-binary assigned male. So it's a big step forward. We'll hopefully get some more inclusive policies on blood, but also on how people are just recorded on forms and things that can now be sorted as well. So it is a good move. Rodney, have a great Sunday. Keep up the good work in Tassie. It is going well there. Interesting that smaller geographical area states, TAS and then and territories, ACT, Victoria, seem to be moving ahead. I have to think about what lessons we can take from that. But maybe it comes back to local campaigning. I'll leave our listeners and yourself with that thought. You have a great Sunday. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Sally. Yeah, and it does come back to local campaigning. go Tasmania, Victoria, and the ACT. It's time Sydney took a leaf out of our book.
Boo.
and had a look south to see what progress can be made. But it's always in the hands of local campaigners. It's always in our hands as a community. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I've got a track to go to that you can listen to once you detach from the Zoom. And it's very appropriate. John Williamson, you'll come back to Tassie. Thanks, Rodney. Have a good afternoon. Bye.
Thanks, Ali. Bye.
Rodney Croom, veteran advocate and campaigner with a long, sort of fought campaign that has finally got progress in the right direction. Still things, as Rodney said, to sort of tidy up, but I think that's a large chunk done, and great to hear of great news in Tassie. We need the good news around our rainbow communities all around so-called Australia and around the world. Anyway, we promise and, we deliver. Here is John Williamson from the compilation album called The Winners 5 way back in 1997. You come back to Tassie, 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
You always return to Tassie, your Tassie is where you're from. You sneak off like a tiger, but you come back. You sail around the world, see the other side. But all the travelling you've done to get away just brings you home. You come back to Tassie, you come back. Don't deny it, you couldn't stay away. You come back to Tassie, you come back. To your little home in Liffey, yippee-yi-yay. Golden hills of Swansea, the cradle in the sky, the wild where the Franklin River roars. Or is it the little towns, the friendliest in the world, or the memories of the good old folks that bring you home? 'Cause you come back to Tassie, you come back. Don't deny it, you couldn't stay away. You come back to Tassie, you come back. To your little home in Liffey, yippee-yi. You always return to Tassie, if Tassie is where you're from. You sneak off like a tiger, but you come back. You sail around the world to see the other side. But all the traveling you've done to get away just brings you home. You come back to Tassie, you come back. Don't deny it, you couldn't stay away. You come back to Tassie, you come back. To your little home in Liffey, yippee-yi-yay.
Bisexual Alliance Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label or no label at all, their partners and allies. Bisexual Alliance runs discussion groups in person and online. The group offers a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Bisexual Alliance is especially keen to hear from multigender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations of $2 or more to Bisexual Alliance are now tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at bi-alliance.org, email info@bi-alliance.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
A 3CR supporter. I'm bisexual.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally-made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
3CR 855 AM 3CR digital 3CR.org.au 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard from John Williamson from 1997, and you come back to Tassie. Great to hear of what's going on down in Tassie and history made, as Gorilla Monsoon wrestling commentator would have said. There it was at 12:30 and 51 seconds, the obligatory wrestling reference, and history made with the the changes that came into effect this week and more to come in relation to plasma and blood donation, far more equal. Now, messages in. Jenny's listening live today. Hey, Jenny, good to hear from you. I'm not going to play any Coldplay today, lol. Now, I've been following this. I'm sort of not quite up there with what was going on, but a friend sent me a meme from a news satire site, KNN News. Coldplay becomes the first band in history to release four singles in one night at their recent concert. I was so happy to witness history, said one fan. And yes, so I think I got an idea of what's going on. But also, yes, there are no security cameras in the 3CR studio. There's also been a bit of drama going on there with someone being caught out having non-consensual sort of behaviours. Updates about homophobic attacks in Melbourne. Did I see the article that Dean Arcuri put in The Age this week? No, I didn't. And I will have to have a look at that in the next few minutes, Jenny. But that is good, and it's always great to see Dean Arcuri, Melbourne's busiest homosexual, who's busy on the art scene and on the media scene as well. So I'll have a read of that. I touched on this last week, a couple of weeks after this broke, that there's been relatively little media coverage of hate against, parts or all of LGBTIQA+. However, kudos to the Saturday paper, who ran a great article. They gave the coverage. The news, of course, wasn't so good on dating apps being used to sort of lure gay and bisexual men in not so nice ways. It's good to see that some media on the move, but it seems that the larger media blocks are not. Here it is from yesterday's Saturday paper, which you can get a free article from them. And so if you once in a while, so if you want to use it for this, you can. The title on the online version is apps used as baiting tools in homophobic attacks. So I should have given a content note there. Great article by Hannah Bambra. Grindr and Snapchat being used as baiting tools for some of the worst attacks gay and bi men have seen in 40 years. And the article quotes our fabulous commissioner, Joe Ball, attacks on gay and bi men, deliberate, organised and hateful, says Joe. Simon Ruth, chief executive of Thorn Harbour Health, says it's the worst in 40 years. We've seen... I'm not going to go through the details of the attacks. I will actually raise the content note here. And if anything is distressing, contact QLife, which includes Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, 1800 184 527. And, of course, this is not good for those who lived through the 80s and 90s, who went through these things. It would be re-triggering those sorts of things. There's, certainly... things that need to be covered. Jenna Tuke leads LGBTIQA+ organisation Switchboard, and there's barriers about not being believed, being victim blamed, losing control over what's happened to you, so people might not report. And It's interesting to note here, well done to the Saturday paper for picking up on this, no LGBTIQA plus members were invited to the Victorian Premier's anti-hate task force. It's out of violence against queers, to quote Simon Ruth, it's out of control and requires a coordinated and multifaceted response. Absolutely. We need to know more about what's going on. More importantly, what can we do to prevent it? Dating apps, we know, can have risks. But it's about, and as social media and internet can, and look, I haven't been, touch wood, sucker punched on a dating thing, but I know when you see something that can get your emotions one way or another, it can be difficult to stop and think calmly, now, is this real? Does this person sound too good to be true? Once, and I say this very seriously, I thought I had been followed by someone who was a well-known professional wrestler. It turned out it was a sort of copycat account from someone who was a fake account. And so we can fall for these things. So it is about just trying to proceed with caution and, taking deep breaths before you rush into anything. Both the Eagle and the Laird, we know, copped vandalism a couple of weeks ago, and yet they're, doing their best to fight back. So, yeah, these are certainly things that need to be talked about. Please just take that extra degree of caution in the meantime. But I think that I agree with that Saturday paper article by Hannah Bambra. Great work. Needs to be a more coordinated and community-involved response. We heard Rodney talk about, when communities get involved, things get done. And we are at the grassroots. We know what works for us. And we have to make sure we somehow can get it in there and be listened to and heard and get the proverbial win-win solutions going. But I think in the meantime, it would be good if federal politicians spoke out unequivocally against all forms of hate, not just one or two. I think that sends a very unequal message. All right, let's have some more music. And I lined up lots of Tassie music today in honour of Rodney Croom. So I'll pull out this oldie and gold, but Goldie that first appeared way back in 1983. Let's keep good things flowing. And this one was called Let the Franklin Flow, combination of the bands of Goanna and Redgum. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
This has got a fairly easy chorus. If you catch on, just sing along.
Oh, Tasmania, the hardest heart would understand. Just to feel your wilderness, your silence sings to me. So let the Yeah.
please leave your light on for me. Let it shine all through the night. I know by now you're not expecting me. I've been so long out of sight. I'm coming through the darkest hour now, mama. Don't give up on me just yet. I got no excuses for ya, but I sure got some regrets. I sure got some regrets. I went out from the halls of grace. My soul turned into stone. Please leave your light on for me. I've been taking the long way home. Please go easy when you see me, mama. I just might fall apart. I know I've tried your patience. I know I've stretched your heart. The sky fell down hard upon me. I've been crawling in the dirt. Nobody's fault but mine for sure. And not just me who's hurt. Not just me who's hurt. I went out from the halls of grace. Turn my back on my own. Please leave your light on for me. 'Cause I've been taking the long way home.
Have a few children's picture books or footy boots that your kids have outgrown but want to find them a loving home? Well, drop them in at 3CR and put them in the Books and Boots bin. Books and Boots regularly sends pre-loved children's picture books and sports footwear to remote and regional First Nations communities and children across the country. Contact us at Books and Boots or go to the website www.booksandboots.org.au. We love a good book.
Dump da 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 dump da 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 boom 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 boom. Hi, I'm Rod Quantock, and you're listening to Fill in the Dots. You know who you're listening to. Why do I have to tell you who you're listening to? You know who you're listening to. You're listening to, yes, Fill in the 3CR Community Radio. You got it right. You've won a giraffe. We're at 8:55 a.m. We're on digital radio and streaming at 3cr.org.au. 3CR has been making trouble since 1976, and occasionally I've been part of the trouble that's been made. It's a vital part of our media landscape, and I'd encourage you to get a hacksaw, an oxyacetylene torch, and go up to the Dandenongs and bring down all those broadcast towers that aren't 3CR's towers, and let's make 3CR the only source of information to an information-starved, dumbed-down Australian community. Written, authorised and spoken by Neil Mitchell.
Neil Mitchell could still be lurking. You never know. Thank heavens Rod Quantock keeps lurking. That's the voices of 3CR. 855 AM, digital, 3cr.org.au, and on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally at around 14 minutes to 1 o'clock as this show goes to air live. And prior to the messages, we heard a track from Paul Kelly's album Stolen Apples. Yes, there's the Tasmanian theme keeping on. Please leave your light on. I'll be leaving the light on at 1 o'clock when I leave the studio, so the fab crew from Freedom of Species can come in and present their show. They've got a great guest today. They have Sheena Shabra discussing the plant-based treaty. So they've always got lots of great information. And I forgot to thank the crew from Out of the Blue, Diving Deep, for the marine news, as they always do, 11:30 till noon every Sunday morning. Maybe only need the medium weight wetsuit today. It feels a little bit warmer, as much as it can in a Melbourne winter out there. This is very welcome. Coming back to Jenny's messages. Thank you, Jenny. It's so good to hear from you, and you've got a chance to listen in live. I did have a read of, it's the article by Rachel Dexter in The Age, but quoting the fabulous Dean Arcuri about what happened, 2 weeks ago today, and related issues. And it covers some similar topics to the Saturday paper one. So I take back and withdraw and unconditionally apologise for what I said about the larger media not dealing with these issues. Good to see Yarra Council Mayor Stephen Jolly has condemned the vandalism at two inner city venues in the city of Yarra, queer venues. Good to see Federal Melbourne ALP member, newly elected at the federal election, Sarah Whitty, sent her love and respect to those affected. So that's good that we've got, local federal members in there, but it's just frustrating that higher up members, Anthony Albanese, Jim Chalmers, Penny Wong, are silent on LGBTIQA plus issues at this time. You don't get to be selective on hate, to use a phrase that I use. I just get a little frustrated with people who are selectively woke, either because they only support some groups and not others, but also they're not come from a consistent place of kindness and principle. So, it's not clear if, the anti-Semitic and queer attacks are linked, according to Queer Commissioner Joe Ball. Ball believes, although it's not in quote marks, that the hateful rhetoric against, this article says, gay and transgender people and those who don't conform to traditional gender roles, are the words used in the article, but not in quote marks, that the hateful rhetoric has been imported from Trump's MAGA movement. That's quite a reasonable opinion. Ball, as it quotes the forum in the Laird, the Victoria Police said there was no place for this type of concerning behaviour in our society. That's good to hear. But there'd be some people who'd say, police need to be more respectful to all parts of diversity, and that would help. Minister for Equality, Vicky Ward, is quoted condemning the behaviour. The Brett Lasham, owner of the Laird, is quoted. He says, "I'd love to sit at a table with one of these people and ask what made you want to do that." That would be a very interesting thing to do. You'd have to have some pretty thick skin to do that. Might be able to do it. Might be on my day, I think. But I must say, I wouldn't go out of my way to do it. It's one of my theories that with the rise of social media, people whose views, as much as I don't like using words like this, are effectively opposites, are sort of sometimes end up interacting with each other when they don't want to. So, whereas 40 years ago, had I been out, would I have gone out of my way to, meet someone with, so-called gender critical views or these sorts of hateful right wingers, etc.? I don't think I would have. Wouldn't have gone out of my way to physically meet them or phone them. Other news in the week, Jenny is quite rightly concerned about, quote, the Jewish community has been outspoken about the leadership involved with consultations with a conflict of interest of the new Jewish envoy and her husband's involvement with a right-wing group, and that her husband has apparently donated to Advance Australia, which is an oxymoron. It's a right-wing think tank, I believe. Anyway, it's not good. And look, I have, because of my own, I'm going to call it mixed in my, I'm going to be very careful about what I say here. I've been battling my own mental health stuff, which is finally turning, which is why I've shied away from intensity. I've had enough of my own. But whatever one thinks about what is going on in the Middle East, I don't think the Gillian Siegel anti-Semitism plan is the right approach. Education is the answer to me, not just shutting down a dissenting voice. And, we need more of that. But also everyone needs to take responsibility. I mean, often, sensationalist elements of media will, for example, frame the trans versus, say, gender critical debate in very extreme terms. And sometimes it's not so much, there's a couple of things. One, it's not so much what is said, but how it's said. You know, you can have a debate that it's not necessarily civil, but does show some respect for other people. But it's also about taking, which also then means taking responsibility. I know I harp on about this. Maybe I'm a bit get off my lawn about it, but that's where things are going wrong. We talk about freedom, but we don't talk about the other side of the coin. And also Jenny's sent in that a person who is accused of killing a Sydney gay couple, Jesse Baird and Luke Davies, Beau Lamar Condon, is going to have a new lawyer after his legal team withdrew from his, he's been charged with murder. His case currently in a local court. Thinking of all the families involved, absolutely so. They are the main thing, two men were taken in such a way, a loving couple who were great at their jobs and all that sort of thing. It's like, obviously a very horrible situation. There it is. What else has been news during the week? Well, I'm still coming to terms with a lot of stuff. As I mentioned briefly last week at the end of the show, on Thursday, July the 10th, I received the results of a questionnaire that I submitted to my psychologist, which showed I was in the 94 percentile on the autism spectrum, and finding that out at 59 years and 267 days was, in terms of the high percentile ranking, was a big surprise. Well, now I'm sort of very, very high up on the ADHD spectrum as well, kaleidoscope as well. I found that out last Thursday. So life is a journey. There's lots of mixed emotions. I suppose this is my audio blog or some sort in a way. There's all sorts of feelings. Why did I have to go through my life without these big pieces of jigsaw and framework and all that sort of thing? Part of me is then saying, well, I can't do anything about that. And, I don't think there was much talk about autism when I was growing up and ADHD, or it was seen in very derogatory and negative terms. But part of me is also going, do I have to go through another journey as I approach 60? Perhaps I'm sick of journeying a bit, but okay, it is what it is. So there's these sorts of mixed emotions. And unless I'm missing something at the moment, I mean, it's only, as I say, 10 days into these journeys, I'm curious to know about resources. And yes, this is perhaps myself, but I think this very much relates to this show, because we know lots of queer people are on the autism spectrum, and lots of people have dealt with, say, oh, I'm only going to go with sexual/romantic orientation and gender identity and expression. I won't speak for variation of sex characteristics, but anyone with variation of sex characteristics, what's the incidence of neurodivergence and intersex? I'd be curious to know if it is similar-ish to the other parts of the proverbial rainbow. But there seems to be a shortage of resources for people coming out late, particularly queer, and then particularly trans, and then particularly trans femme. Unless I'm looking in the wrong places. Maybe I need to use a different search engine or something. But it is all a bit, it's a very interesting journey. It's a bit bewildering. at the moment, but I'm just trying to live by my own rules and approach it with curiosity, I suppose, and find out what I need to find out. But I can say that it has, my mental health has improved, I'll say noticeably, in the last 10 days, because the poor little brain has stopped wandering around trying to find the missing pieces of jigsaw to put everything together, because it's got them. Hooray. So that's something which is, you know, good news. Jenny's come in and said, just think of all the possibilities you can tackle now. Age is just a number. My auntie went back to university at 50 years old. Well, could be. You know, who knows what's ahead. It could open up some new things. You never know. And look, that's the sort of approach I'm trying to take, Jen. It's just all a bit, not bewildering, just unsettling, maybe. Who knows? You know, I'm sure it'll settle in time. Anyway, I'd better get out of here and make way for Freedom of Species with their fabulous guest. Once again, it will be Ashina Shabra discussing the plant-based treaty. Take it out today. One more, as best as I could find, Tasmanian-related song. Well, will there be a football team, the Tassie Devils, or will they have to stay inside something? This is In Excess and the Devil Inside. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. Thanks to Rodney Krim. Thanks, Jen, for all your messages. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.